Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes into the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For quite a while this week, I debated whether to open up this morning with a graphic snake story to set the scene for our Old Testament reading. But then I thought, you know, most people don't like snakes anyway, so we'll just kind of leave that one there. Snakes are problem causers. They were in the beginning, they still are today, and they will be until the Lord returns. See, the Lord in Genesis, he said, he, the Christ, will bruise your, the serpent's, head, and you, the serpent, will bruise his, the Christ's, heel. In Numbers, we just heard how the fiery serpents struck the heels of the Israelites to bring death from their mouth. Just as the serpent used words bringing death into the garden. But in the garden and in the wilderness, there was no one to crush the heads of the serpents. So in our Old Testament reading, we hear how the Lord set the fiery serpents upon the people. That's right. Our Lord did it on purpose. He was imposing divine judgment upon the people. You see, he had rescued them from slavery, supported them in the wilderness with everything they needed to survive and more, and yet they still turned against the Lord. They spoke against the Lord. They spoke against Moses. In other words, they rejected them. They were sick and tired of all of the travel. They were sick and tired of the food that God provided. And most likely, they were sick and tired of Moses and God being in charge. So they rejected all of it. So then God sent the snakes. And they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. For those people, the ones who rejected both the Lord and Moses, there is nothing but death. The people had substituted this source of life and replaced it with a human desire. And at that moment, they were already dead. So a just and righteous God sent the snakes to simply finish them off, to sort of move the process along. So when the people saw that many of their countrymen were dying a horrible death, which included but was not limited to intense pain in the limb that was bitten, burning skin all over, and a fever that felt like the person was actually on fire, the most intense law brought the people to repentance. We have sinned, for we have spoken against you and against the Lord. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. This law that the Lord sent showed them their sin, and it brought them back to repentance to the Lord. We must remember it was not the Lord's will to kill all of the Israelites in the wilderness. He had made a promise to them, a covenant, and he would keep that covenant even if the people of Israel were not holding up their end. So the Lord hears them in repentance, and he provides a remedy for what was afflicting them. Now, he does not provide one to crush the heads of the serpents striking the people, but he does provide a remedy that removes the death-causing effect of their venom. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, will live." Notice here that the solution was not to remove the fiery serpents. No, they remained. Still vicious, still deadly, still fiery. But the Lord brings life in the midst of death. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Thus the solution the Lord brought was not removal, but faith. Believing in the promise of looking at the statue and living. Once again, the nation was restored. No longer did they grumble or speak against Moses and the Lord. Rather, they trusted and believed them. Through faith, they were saved. They looked at the sign of salvation and received it. But what about those who continue to be bitten by serpents today? But not the earthly type. What about people who suffer the poisonous effects of sin and evil, the venom of Satan's lies and their own fallen nature? Where do they turn? Where do they look to be saved? You see, this is us here today. We are the children of Israel this morning, in our own wilderness of this world, struck by sin, death, and Satan. Maybe our afflictions are the results of grumbling and complaining. "I pray to you, God, yet my loved ones still die. I trusted in you, Lord, but I didn't get that job I wanted. I depended on you to provide, and yet I still cannot make ends meet." Because of these, perhaps you begin to question God's providence and salvation. If he can't provide something simple like that, how in the world is he supposed to do something big? Perhaps it's as simple as the effects of a world broken by sin coming down on you all at once. So to whom do these people turn? Where do you turn for help? What has been set for you to look at in these times? Well, Jesus gives us an answer in our gospel reading. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Jesus identifies himself as the sign, the object of salvation. Those stricken by sin, victims of Satan's venom, are to look to him who was lifted up on the pole. There they will find forgiveness and redemption. The bronze snake was a remedy for the problem the snakes in the wilderness caused the Israelites. But Jesus is the problem to the solution to the universal problem that the serpent brought into the world in the Garden of Eden. Jesus is the promised serpent crusher, the one who brings righteousness to those who lack it, and life to those who are on a collision course with condemnation and death. Jesus acts as the statue in the desert, but what he brings is a far greater value and a benefit. It is just not help for today. It is help for all eternity. This is how John records that eternal benefit. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God has more than enough reasons to condemn the world every day, just as there was plenty of good reason for God to kill all of the Israelites in the wilderness. But in his mercy, he acts in a very different way, and that is to bring salvation to a poisoned and dying world. Life comes to us, poisoned people, all of us, through the eternal antidote produced by the fruit of Christ's cross. What Jesus accomplished on that cross is dispensed to us in holy baptism, holy absolution, the Lord's Supper, and his very word. In these, the venom of sin is counteracted and you are revived. By these, you are no longer destined for death. We no longer have reason to complain or speak out against the Lord. He has delivered life to you and set you on a path to paradise with him for eternity. Remember, the Lord's solution to the snakes killing the people in the wilderness was not to remove the snakes. The same remains today. Our Lord has not removed our sinful nature or the brokenness of the world around us. And so we still suffer for it and we continue to sin, giving the Lord ample reason for condemnation. But in his grace and his mercy, he forgives us. Since his Son has removed your guilt, he has crushed your accuser and given you the newness of life. The ancient serpent that leads people to death has been defeated, and you have been given salvation as you look to him who was lifted up to give you life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. It had to be this way, so that you who were poisoned by sin may live. It had to be this way, so that what had been promised could be accomplished by Jesus. In Jesus, the snake bite of sin is overcome. It is finished. He has borne your guilt. Your guilt is no longer your problem. Look to the cross of Jesus and believe he is the Son of God. Believe what he has done for you. Look to the cross of Jesus and live. Amen.